Hello, 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 and welcome to the third installment of April Cast. I'm currently running at 3 for 3. I am, of course, recording this in the early hours of April the 3rd. I don't know if I'll always be doing them at April the 3rd, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it kind of works for me that I do them sort of last thing, because I've usually had like a conversations with people throughout the day which have kind of given me ideas for stuff to talk about. Speaking of which, I was talking with Hex and others about what we would do if YouTube were to disappear tomorrow. Right now, there have been people who I've been following who have received community strikes over the years, but one thing that I've noticed, a couple of techie YouTubers have been getting community strikes for talking about things like YouTube DL and ad blocking and NewPipe and things like this. And these are often strikes on old videos. Now, before I go further, I do want to preface this by saying that you should never truly trust, well, when a YouTuber or when a content creator says, you know, I've got a community strike for this, or I've been banned on that platform for that. It's always worth remembering that you're hearing a one-sided defense, unchallenged view of the situation. And that's going to come with it a significant bias. But there are facts, and a lot of the fact of the matter is that a handful of YouTubers who talk about things like YouTube DL, who talk about things like ad blocking, have recently been getting strikes for older videos. And this is across the board of people who talk about this kind of stuff. And it's not unsurprising. YouTube is, of course, a private company, and they can fundamentally do what they wish in this regard. To sort of revere YouTube as a public square is obviously naive. I kind of feel I'm preaching to the converted on this one. I always think of it as the World Wide Web might actually be the town square in which, you know, that we talk and share ideas, and YouTube might be like a shopping mall off the off of that town square. So you can go into it, but you know, like, only at the discretion of the proprietor of the establishment. And whilst there may be a forecourt there for which you can, you know, share your ideas and communicate and talk, at the end of the day, you know, whoever owns what, you know, the land that you're on can decide whether or not you're on it. So I think that it is worth remembering that whilst there are many, many, many proprietary spaces on the internet, we should not really truly revere them as any kind of public space. They're not. They might masquerade themselves as a public space to lure you in, but fundamentally they're there to make money. They're there to make money. It literally as simple as that. You can argue that when it comes to companies of a certain size like Google and Microsoft, they don't necessarily always follow the conventional methods of business. So they can play longer games, they can turn things into a battle of attrition, they can afford legal fees where smaller businesses cannot. There's many reasons why small businesses and big businesses operate vastly differently, and big businesses will often operate in ways that we do not understand and we cannot fathom, giving away huge things for free. Like, for example, with YouTube, they clearly, if you look at the history of YouTube and Google's activities with it, YouTube has lost Google a lot of money over the years, but it was all deemed worth it by Google, you could say, for the long game and the money that they would eventually make up for in advertising, but also to just claim dominance over community video on the internet. They are the de facto place where video is shared on the internet. Nothing can compete, right? I have a gaming channel. I love making content for my gaming channel, but I am not going to lumber some poor system administrator who is providing their services out of their own pocket with hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of my, quite frankly, low quality Let's Plays. I love making them. I'm quite proud of them. But at the end of the day, they take up a lot of disk space that other people can make better use of. YouTube have fundamentally devalued disk space in terms of video. They have devalued bandwidth in that regard. And then they can turn any battle with any competitor into a battle of attrition, one of which they will almost certainly win, with some exceptions being things like Netflix and HBO for more licensed content, maybe Twitch for streaming, although YouTube has a reasonable streaming showing. And, you know, there have been somewhat victories in competing platforms of video hosting regarding TikTok, but TikTok is actually much more moderated than YouTube. You can sort of say that it's a little bit different than social, but no competitor will win against YouTube if it's going to be a clone of YouTube. That's just not going to happen. The only thing that a direct clone of YouTube will offer is a home for people who have been banned on YouTube. And whilst there are people who I'm sure have been banned from YouTube for mistakes, or illegitimate reasons, most people who have been banned from YouTube, particularly the bigger names, have been done so for a reason. Like, it's not a good PR look for YouTube to kick people off their platform. So in many cases when they do it, it's either like a small creator who they've probably just either made a mistake, or maybe that they've been brigaded in one form or another, or it's a larger creator who have just cause YouTube more grief by being on the platform. I'm obviously speaking of Alex Jones, where, yeah, it's probably not a good look for them in some ways to kick Alex Jones off of YouTube, but also it's not a good look for them to have him on YouTube. And that's what it comes down to for YouTube. It's a PR balancing act, right? They care about the PR of the scheme, because that determines their value as a brand. So if they have huge toxic personalities, they're going to find ways to get rid of them. And you've got to understand, of course, is that YouTube is probably a better company than most at this kind of thing. Whether or not that's right or wrong is entirely irrelevant. YouTube get to set the rules. And in fact, some of the rules that they set are actually quite logical. For example, one of the rules that some people get community strikes for is demonstrating ways to circumvent payment for online services. That's listed in the community rules, alongside things like teaching people how to you know, hack and break into systems and all that kind of thing. But if you think about it, YouTube DL or NewPipe or Invidious or all of these services, Adblock, they all fundamentally allow you to watch YouTube without ads. They allow you to watch Twitch streams without ads. You know, they allow you to browse all kinds of websites without ads. And if you consider viewing ads to be payment for online services, which I don't think it's unreasonable to argue that, then yeah, just by demonstrating an ad blocker on a YouTube channel or by demonstrating NewPipe, you are fundamentally teaching people how to use YouTube without paying for it in the way of watching ads. Of course, you can also extend that argument to say that YouTube, they do have a subscriber-based system as well, called YouTube Premium. You can pay a certain amount every month. It depends, and it varies quite wildly from country to country, I might add. Rather expensive here in the UK. And you can pay for that, and then you do not watch ads on YouTube content. And in fact, you still get to support the creator. I think YouTube Premium, for the cost of it in the UK, which I think is priced a tad high, especially when you compare it in other countries. And I know that that's regional pricing for you, but it seems to be quite drastic, but maybe that's just a grudge on my part. But that money does get dispersed among the YouTube creators that you view, once, of course, they take out the YouTube tax. Which is not necessarily unreasonable. I mean, YouTube are providing bandwidth and disk space and all of that, but it's an ad-free platform. By using Adblock, you are kind of, in some ways, circumventing the payment of YouTube Premium. You are teaching people to provide a way round having to pay for YouTube Premium by finding ways of watching YouTube channels without ads. It can certainly be interpreted like that, and when YouTube are interpreting it to their own direct advantage, of course, they're going to be most charitable to themselves. It's just common sense in that regard. Yeah, and I don't even think that that's necessarily unreasonable, but also it's also to be expected. So me and Hex were chatting about where would we go after YouTube, what would we do, and what would be the face of it. Well, a lot of people, I suspect, and have done in the past, would talk about LBRY, but I hate LBRY. I really don't like LBRY. The reason I hate it is because it's just terrible user experience from my point of view. Every time I've ever tried to do something with LBRY, I've always gotten errors, and I've always tried to sort out, you know, try to seek help and all that kind of stuff, and I've never, it's just so much is so poorly put together. It's so badly developed that I can't even get my videos on there if I wanted to. And the support is has never really been particularly helpful in that regard. They're just not a high quality. They just can't provide the quality that YouTube does. I'd rather just post on YouTube, to be honest. Like at that point, right? They don't, from my point of view, from my experience as a creator, as someone who's trying to upload content to there, it's just not worth the aggro they give me. It's just not. It's terrible. And Hextra was looking into his LBRY account today, and they and he was struggling to just like even do the most basic of tasks there, which is a shame. It really sucks because you know, it'd be nice if it was good. But I mean, outside of that, I don't like LBRY because say what you want about it, it is still centralized and it still is a for-profit centralized video sharing platform. It's basically trying to be YouTube. It's just not as good at being YouTube as YouTube is. I'm sorry, but that's just the case. And that's not even addressing the fact that there is just not that breadth and quality of content on LBRY as well. I watch YouTube. I watch more YouTube than, you know, I spend more time on YouTube than any other social network. I watch more YouTube than I do television and film and all this kind of stuff. I love YouTube. Content is great. Yeah, and I ain't going to find that nowhere else. That's part of the thing. And that's why I do like the initiatives like Invidious, where it accepts the problem of centralized YouTube, but it provides you with somewhat survival mechanisms to approach it. So if you ever want to watch my gaming videos, but you don't want to necessarily find yourself in the YouTube system, then you can use Invidious to at least find some way to approach it. I do find more and more now that if you try and watch a YouTube video without being signed in, they really do push you to sign in, don't they? They really do sort of, you know, they're quite aggressive in that regard. And you don't tend to notice it because I'm signed into YouTube a lot of time, but from time to time, I'll just like notice how much more aggressive they are getting you to sign up for their services. And that kind of makes me sympathize with people that just don't want to. When a company pressures you with such hard selling like that, it pushes you away. That's the problem. So anyway, I'm dancing around the issue. It's been over 12 minutes and I still haven't got the core of it. I'm not going LBRY, partly because it's just not good quality enough, partly because it's centralized, partly because it's for profit. Like, it doesn't challenge the systemic problems of YouTube. It just doesn't. It is just YouTube, but not as good. I'm sorry, but that's the case. So PeerTube is the option. I do upload to PeerTube, and I do like PeerTube. I think PeerTube is genuinely challenging the systemic paradigm which we have problems with YouTube. I believe it's the only thing that can possibly compete with YouTube in terms of scalability, because it allows small communities to club their resources together and provide their own hosting across a decentralized network, so there is no single point of failure. In theory, you could have other peer tubes that connect into the Fediverse. You could even have like Mastodon actually hosting out video as well if you wanted to. You'd probably want to self-host it and up your upload limit, but it's certainly possible there. There are other ways, but PeerTube is designed for video. In fact, I wonder what PixelFed could offer in that regard as well. But that aside, and again, if I were to do a video blog on something like PixelFed, you'd have to do it self-hosted, right? And you'd be dishing it out in a much more standard way, which means that if one of your videos were to go viral, that'd be a pretty heavy load on your server. But to be honest, most videos don't go viral. My most viewed video, which admittedly is what, like 500,000 views, if that, or a couple of 100,000 views, I don't even care. That's over such a long period of time that I'm pretty sure that my, you know, a channel like mine, not that it's a particularly big one, would be able to be hosted on PixelFed. But yeah, PeerTube allow the federation of the hosting, so it spreads the load using BitTorrents across other instances which wish to mirror it. And there are many PeerTube instances across the Fediverse that do mirror my content. So if my network were to go down, if ShareTube were to go down, which is where I host my content, my videos would be available on many other instances because they've been backed up. And that's great. Like, that's a way where we've avoided a single point of failure. Also, each community is responsible for their own content if they infringe on copyright, for example, or if they post, particularly illegally grotesque material, again, for another example. It's that particular community that is held accountable. It doesn't necessarily reflect on the platform. Because I'll tell you one thing about LBRY as well, is it, as much as LBRY like to claim that they're such a threat to YouTube, and they like to claim that any time they face any kind of difficulty or obstacle, it's because, you know, the almighty Google and YouTube are fearing what LBRY might do to disrupt the market. They don't. YouTube and Google barely even know who LBRY are. But I can tell you that if LBRY were to ever be in a position where it would challenge Google and YouTube's monopoly on community video, they could get shut down by lawyers at any time. YouTube have historically been incredibly powerful in the legal world in when it comes to defending their platform and defending their content. LBRY is nowhere near going to do that. They've already come up against problems defending their cryptocurrency. I'm not entirely sure about it, but we'll see how that battle in and of itself fares. But I can assure you, in this world, being right is not enough to free you of any, you know, legal difficulties. Like, YouTube can just pile on the lawyers and they can drown LBRY in legal costs, because I doubt there are many lawyers out there that will take, you know, LBRY coin or whatever it is. Yeah, I don't think it's with us forever. I will be surprised if LBRY lasts 5 years. I genuinely will be. I could be wrong. I've been wrong on these things before, but all things considered, no. LBRY is just, it has more problems than YouTube. It's just, yeah. But with Pixel, PeerTube, you know, it doesn't have that single legal entity. You know, unless YouTube and Google go after Framasoft, but one would hope that if PeerTube were to ever get any kind of traction whatsoever, there would be other groups and other companies building competing open source software, or forking PeerTube for one reason or another, and then there would be several contributions into the Fediverse. It's the network that is incredibly powerful here, not the individual nodes and components of it. And avoiding the single point of failure, I think, is really quite useful. And of course, there's always, you know, you can back up, you can fork code, you can do all sorts of stuff with it. There are defense mechanisms but you've got all these individual instances on the network. So there is no single point of failure, which means that they, you know, like Google and YouTube cannot mount the same kind of legal challenge against the Fediverse. Because it just doesn't work like that. It's systemically more resilient. That's what I'm looking for. That's the problems I'm trying to solve. That's where free software gets its power from. And I think a lot of people that are just looking for an alternative to YouTube don't understand that. They don't understand the philosophy behind free and open source software. They don't understand the power behind it. They don't understand the freedoms that it offers, because they're just so used to being able to do what they want unchallenged, fundamentally. And that's a trick of corporations. It's a trick of the likes of big tech and YouTube. They trick you into thinking that you've got freedom by giving you free stuff. Because, you know, decadence can be very easily confused for freedom. And it's not. It's not. So I do like PeerTube, and I hope PeerTube will remain strong. The big key issue, of course, with PeerTube is people got to pay for their own shit. You know, you can't get lured into this corporate freebie stuff. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. You've got to pay for it somewhere down the line. There is a reason why YouTube can afford to give so much, literally unlimited bandwidth and hosting for free. With PeerTube, you've got to pay for it. You've got to pay for it because you're not in their trap. And that's something that I think is a bit of a stark reminder of how much we've become reliant on YouTube and reliant on these corporations. And it's going to be a bit of a wake-up call if ever there was a compulsion to actually move off YouTube, a meaningful compulsion, like not a preference. Like, if you want to make content, you're going to have to, like, find your own hosting and pay for it yourself. I hope that's to get over. But this is what I've been talking about, particularly on PeerTube, about hosting videos at 480, because it's much lower. I've got some interesting figures for you, actually. I've done a bit of research, which is All of my videos, I backed up all of my videos on my YouTube channel and my thumbnails and text files of all of the descriptions. So all of my channel, my entire Chris Ware Digital main channel, videos all at 480, because let's be honest, most of the stuff I do, especially the Talking Head stuff, is not worthy of high definition. And I talked about high definition. Most of you folks agree with me that unless there is a, you know, like a mechanical reason, like there's text on the screen, and ultimately if there is text on the screen, it should be big enough to read at 480. But yeah, like most of you are happy with 480. I think there was one person that was like, you know what, choose a happy medium, 720. And 720 is not bad, actually. 720 is fine. But anyway, 480p, all of my videos, 13.6 gigabytes. Let's round that up to 14 gigabytes. That's really not that bad, right? I've been making videos on that channel since 2013 for 8 years. 8 years worth of videos, some of which are pretty long, 14 gigabytes, and the thumbnails to go with them. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. I like, you know, that is hostable. But it would be a lot more if I was to download it at 1080. And this is why they throw crazy amounts of money at it, because they want you to think that 1080 is the norm. They want you to think that high definition is to be expected. I don't think it should be. I think PeerTube instances should be publishing by default for normal users 480. I think we should get back to humble roots and try and remember the value of a dollar, you know, to use some American lingo there. But to try and remember, you know, like remember the value of money. Like, stuff costs things. And maybe we should think twice before, you know, do we need all those extra pixels? Maybe 480, maybe 720 is enough. But let's go a step further, right? I reckon most of my videos, apart from where I show important stuff on screen, distro reviews, all that kind of stuff. And actually, I was talking to Hex about this, right? Even when it comes to distro reviews, right? I've got distro reviews going back from years. Old versions of Fedora, they're not really relevant anymore, right? So, you know, if I were to move to another platform and have to worry about funding for, you know, paying for the disk space, there's a lot of old videos that, quite frankly, just are not worth carrying across. They could get lost. Scattered into the winds of history, right? But what's interesting is a lot of my channel would work quite well, I believe, as audio, only similar to what you're experiencing right now. So I thought, I ran through an experiment. I downloaded and converted to MP3 all the file, every single video on my channel, and it came to 3.9 gigabytes. Ran that up to 4. 4 gigabytes, 14 for 480 video, 4 for just sound. Now, that's not going to work for all videos, so that's just an experiment. But 4 gigabytes of sound, right? Now, going forward in the future, I could always adjust my content, but I think that there's something to be said. I think a lot of my stuff is like, well, yeah, maybe I could post to PeerTube, but you know, a lot of my PeerTube stuff is hosted at the goodwill of those that wish to see my content propagated in the Fediverse, and I'm incredibly grateful for that. I do throw my instance some money through LibraPay, and LibraPay is a great way to support free and open source projects. But I am certainly not a rich man, and I certainly wish that I could contribute a lot more. So, if you do enjoy PeerTube content, please always consider looking for ways to financially support the free and open source stuff, if you can, of course, afford it. Because that's the thing, the corporations are tricked us, aren't they? They've gotten us to completely devalue bandwidth and disk space, and it's, you know, in a way that makes us become and feel dependent on places like YouTube. But I don't think we have to be. I think that this content here, just listening to me speak and share my ideas, if I was in front of a camera, it wouldn't make a difference, right? You might enjoy the comforting, the comforting view of my face, because that's all you'd be looking at right about now. And to be honest, I appreciate it, because I don't have to set up the lighting. I get to just, like, hang off the back of my chair and just, shoot the shit with you guys. It's great. So I think, you know, going back to the original point of the video, me and Hex having our conversation about what we'd do if YouTube were to disappear tomorrow, if we got those dreaded community strikes. I think I would try and upload what I can to YouTube. And I'd upload what I can to PeerTube. I do like PeerTube. I want to support it. And I do have PeerTube exclusive content as well, because quite frankly, what's the point of PeerTube if it's only going to be mirroring YouTube stuff, right? Every video sharing platform that has competed successfully with YouTube has not just copied YouTube, right? Except that YouTube has a culture, and enjoy it. If you don't want to engage with it on Google's terms, use Nvidia's, right? But I think we do need more PeerTube exclusive content. I want to create into that. But the reason I think that's the case is because, you know, why should anyone watch content on PeerTube if they can just as easily watch it on YouTube? And I'm as guilty as that as anyone, you know. Linux Lounge, a great Linux channel. Just, you know, Linux commentary, love it, right? One of my favorites. On PeerTube, on YouTube. I'm subscribed to them on YouTube. I'm subscribed to them on PeerTube as well. And I'll probably end up watching most of the stuff on YouTube, despite the fact that I think it's great that they're posting on PeerTube. And I hope that there are people who don't do that thing that I do. I genuinely hope that there are people who discover Linux Lounge through PeerTube and Mastodon and Fediverse and Plarima and all that, like Miskey and Pixelfed and all that. And that's great. But if we're going to, I think that this is an opportunity for us to develop our own decentralized culture in a fun way, not necessarily even just talk about technology, but just have fun and draw people in. And that's how TikTok did so well, isn't it? It's not because TikTok tried to copy other platforms. I mean, you could argue, well, it takes a little bit after Snapchat, takes a little bit after others, but fundamentally speaking, it's its own thing. Other platforms are trying to copy it more now. And there's a reason why TikTok do not want their content to be uploaded to other platforms as well. They want reasons for people to come over to TikTok. They want to maintain the content and the culture of their platform to bring people in. And I think that when it comes to PeerTube and YouTube, it's not an either or situation as well. There are plenty of people with TikTok installed on their phones, and with YouTube installed on their phones, and with Snapchat installed on their phones, and Instagram installed on their phones. Like, people are not necessarily locked into a single network. And I think people appreciate that is, to, shall we say, the layperson, a way of decentralizing, just being diverse in the different technologies that you use. Of course, all these technologies are fundamentally, I mean, half of them are owned by Facebook, for crying out loud. The other half maybe by Google. But like, you know, in many cases, in your TikToks, in your Snapchats, and even your Twitters, you know, they've, you know, but, and often when someone like an Alex Jones gets banned on a platform, they'll get banned on a lot of them. I would not imagine that many people are as uncooperative with their hosts as Alex Jones is. Alex Jones, of course, famously not scared of pissing off a lot of people, saying the most provocative things that could ever be imagined. And in many ways, he was the architect of his own demise, right? Like, he was just a shyster, wasn't he, in the old traditional sense of the word. But for all that, people are not likely to quit YouTube and join PeerTube. They're likely to be on both platforms, and that's fine, but there's not really much point of them being on both platforms if everything on PeerTube is on YouTube. So if there are any content creators out there watching, or in fact, to be honest, forget YouTubers, right? Like, to be honest, most YouTubers are fucking shit, right? Most of us ain't worth your fucking time, right? What we should do is we should get people in the Fediverse. We should get, you know, people on Mastodon and Miskey and Plarima and all this kind of stuff. We should get them making PeerTube videos. We should have them as a PeerTube first community and leave us dusty old dinosaurs in a fucking museum, because that's where we should be, right? Half of us are just shilling for Patreon bucks at this stage anyway. So, you know, we're just telling you what you want to hear because you'll throw some money to the Patreon people for, you know, picking the right side in the bloody culture war. Now, forget us. We ain't worth your fucking time. We sure as shit ain't worth your money. So yeah, you know, find new stuff on PeerTube. Make new stuff on YouTube. Be the change you seek in the world, right? You know, don't, instead of trying to drag YouTubers over to PeerTube, find people on Mastodon and Plerima who have something interesting to say, or who are doing interesting things, and get them to do PeerTube. I think they'd do a better job. I think they'd embrace the culture a lot better. And then there'd be stuff on PeerTube that wasn't on YouTube. And then I think we'd grow meaningfully. That's my hot take there, spicy as it may be. Anyway, I'm going to sum up by finally getting to the bloody point of the video. Okay, sorry. I'm probably going to call these videos, right? This April cast, this gem cast, right? Yes, I'd still upload to PeerTube. I like PeerTube. I believe in PeerTube. I think that it meaningfully challenges the system of big tech. Absolutely. But I think also, in terms of true decentralization, I like to do this. I like to do what I'm doing right now. This is a little bit of an experiment. This is why I'm probably talking about free software and what it can do in decentralization here so much. I probably will be. I'm going to pick little facets of it, right? Today's video theme was like, what would I do if YouTube disappeared and why YouTube shit? Yesterday, of course, was OGG versus MP3. Side note, do you know that Apple stuff doesn't play OGG out of the box? That's fucking mad. I've started swearing more as this video's gone on, I wear, and the one before it, of course, is just the intro stuff. But I'm going to pick a little topic and I'm going to talk about it. And it's probably going to be free software or decentralization related, right? Because I want to explore where free software can grow from where we are today, the value that it can bring to people who are not in the tech world, right? And in that, to those ends, right, in terms of decentralization, autonomy, owning our stuff, right? I think I'd just do this, right? I'm hosting this at the moment on the lowest end DigitalOcean droplet. Maybe if what I do takes off in a meaningful way, heaven forfend, I'd have to upgrade to a $10 a month DigitalOcean droplet. I'm looking at my LibrePay. I'll fire up my LibrePay. What am I pulling in on LibrePay now? I like LibrePay. I'm not on Patreon. I don't need money so bad that I'm going to go into Patreon. So at the moment, I'm not doing too bad. The thing I like about LibrePay, you can just throw me small money, right? If a good number of people throw me a small amount of money, that's great, right? That again is decentralizing the income here, right? And I think with Patreon, a minimum of $1 a month. No, I don't, you know, there's plenty of people like, no, don't, $1 a month is, I feel that's very generous for those that would give it. And who do give it over on LibrePay. But I think that having that as any kind of benchmark doesn't strike me as, you know, it's not meaningful, right? But I'm getting, at this point in time, £5.56 a week. So what's that in dollary dues? That's probably like, what, $7? $7? $5.50 in USD. Yeah, $7.60, right? So I'm getting $7.60 a week. That's good. I like that. Thank you, folks. That's really nice, right? And that all goes to supporting the content I make, paying for content I make. So usually to hosting. I'm afraid it's not very exciting. Usually to hosting. So I can get by, you know, that's going to cover hosting reasonably comfortably. So why not? Why not just have these audio casts here? I know that most people, when they watch one of my Talking Heads videos, they switch to another tab. They check their email. They check their Mastodon. That's all good. You don't need to stare at my face all day long. It's easier to make this content anyway. And I get to, you know, focus more on the substance and just having a bit of a chat with you folks. Easier to edit as well. I'm just going to run this through Audacity. You know, just tweak the settings a little bit, make it sound a little bit more consistent, and then just like fire it out the door. I'll upload this using SSHFS, so I won't even use rsync. I sometimes use rsync if I'm just staying on the command line. Whatever, who cares? You know, maybe I will do RSS, rsync rather, so it doesn't really matter or anything like that, to be honest. But SSHFS is just so easy just to manage all the files on the server. And then I'll just add a line in the Gemini. Gemini is great because you just add the line on Gemini and it automatically adds it to a feed. So if you're using Lagrange or Amphora, you can subscribe to Aprilcast and then you'll automatically get your Aprilcast in your feed with all your other stuff. You just click on it and it just plays. It's great. Wonderful. Yeah, You can't say fairer than that, can you? Can't say fairer than that. That's and that's hosted by me, right? It's not, we're not even, you know, clustering together into small communities and then, you know, joining together in a federation. Like, this is just me hosting a thing on a website, right? That's great. And it's all under my control, right? The only people that can have a say in that is, like, maybe, for example, DigitalOcean, right? And then maybe I'll just use Linode, or maybe I'll just use Shells, or maybe I'll just use Vulture. Or I suppose I could self-host, but that's not really something I'd... That would be a last resort, I guess, at that stage. But there we go, you know? And I think that's also kind of cool as well. I could upload this to maybe, what's it, Audio... Funkwhale? So Funkwhale, that's another option in the Fediverse that I could use as well. A lot of this stuff, though, whilst it makes sense for communities, just for little old me, I might as well just upload it straight up to my website. And also, it has the advantage that I don't know how many people listen to this. I know that from the feedback I get, both on Mastodon and on email, that it's a few people. I like that. That's good. It doesn't need to be a lot of people. You know, I'm not making this to earn ad deals or to gain social clout or anything like that. I'm just here because I guess I do meaningfully. I do, like, believe what I speak here. Like, the free software movement and autonomy over our digital stuff is incredibly important to me. So I guess from one point of view, it's nice to know how many people are listening to a message that I care about. But I don't want to do that. I feel that goes against the spirit of it all. And I'm going to let you guys feedback to me through email. And I'm going to sort of judge, based on the amount of feedback I get, how many people I'm moving, I guess. Because I guess views are not really a great metric, if you think about it. Because someone could listen or watch some of my content and not take any of it in. But the people who respond through, especially who take the time to respond through email, they've engaged and digested and understood my content. And that's a much clearer picture, right? Like, one person that's listened to what I've got to say and reflected upon it and thought upon it. Maybe they agree, maybe they disagree. Maybe they just have something they want to add to the conversation. That's all good. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they've engaged their brain. They've thought. And that's important, right? I'll make all the arguments I can about my passion for it all. But, you know, us free software guys, free software people, we're an argumentative bunch. And that's partly our strength, even if it is emotionally tiring at times. So yeah, you know, so there we go. If YouTube were to disappear tomorrow, I'll probably just have a neat little website that would reflect my personality, and I would engage in the Fediverse pretty much the way I do. Maybe a little bit more, because YouTube wouldn't be there to distract me. I'd still be around. I'm not one of those YouTubers that are a bit silly. Like, I always find it a bit amusing when there's YouTubers that say, this content is brought to you with Patreon. If it wasn't for your support on Patreon, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. It's like, really? Because there was probably a time before you was earning that kind of money on Patreon. Like, the number of people that say that they couldn't do what they could, you know, the Patreon is a prerequisite for what they do. I think that's pretty exaggerated. Yeah, there are some professional Patreon folks out there that do depend on that money. But if we're honest, I think that's just a bit of a catchphrase for YouTube, isn't it? YouTube bingo at that stage. But yes, as always, please feel free to share your thoughts. Either you can catch me either on Mastodon or the Fediverse, or on email. chrisware@postio.net is my email. chrisware@linuxrocks.online is my Mastodon. That's going to be linked, of course, on the show page of Aprilcast and my Gemini website, which can be found at gem.chrisware.uk. But I suspect most of you will be linking through to this probably from Mastodon, maybe. But if you do come across this on Mastodon, I don't know, give me a boost. I don't usually ask for promotion, do I? I think this is like right up Mastodon's way, right? Like, you know, genuinely decentralized, amateurish, authentic cringe. So thank you, folks, very much for joining me. It's a pleasure, as always, and thank you for just hearing my thoughts. Until next time, I've been Chris Ware, and you've been awesome. Toodaloo.